The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I have all these little schemas in my head for, you know, what good preaching looks like, what it will be, you know, all my plans for the Sunday. And then I read the gospel and I go, that's power, you know, this power to overwhelm, you know, all of the schemas and all the little plans. And we've got to tap into the heart of it. I think that by its very nature is what I'm going for with the sprinkling throughout Easter. Yeah, I know, like, previous years for me, you know, the sprinkling rite, you know what I'm talking about, because we're all still kind of, yeah, I'm still soaked from it, and yeah, hopefully I soaked you at least a little bit. I don't know how that happens. The idea is, of course, you know, we're reminded of our baptism, the bath of regeneration, and the rest. We're all the rich symbolism of water. But I think there's also just the idea that, you know, we have to get splashed in the face with cold water. I mean, Easter is an awakening reality, and what we see in the Mass, I think, as we make our way through, and particularly the Gospels of the Easter season, is that there is an awakening there. There's a splashing in the face that comes with the Gospel passages, and this one, of course, is the primacy of love, and the command, the new command of Christ Jesus. So the command that lies at the very heart of God's desire to restore his entire creation is love one another. Yeah, this and there's power in that. So we have to focus our hearts on that. Of course, this is a continuation from last week's reading, and last week Jesus introducing the image of vine and branches. Okay, and we saw there that the church is to take on the mission of Christ Jesus, drawing from his life as branches on the vine. We're to bear the fruit of the kingdom, to bear the fruit of God's love, to be about his restoration project in the world, for which we are being renewed as a people of deep and abiding charity. And so we see here, say, some of the details of how that is accomplished. Jesus is doubling down on that image. He wants us to stay in this place in order to receive, of course, what he's giving, and then to live it out. And in fact, with the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, and with the reading from the Gospel of John, we have two sides of the same coin. We have two sides of the same coin of Christian mission, Christian life and mission. Okay, here in the Gospel, let me go back. Here in the Acts of the Apostles, we see Cornelius coming into the family of faith. We see a pagan coming into the family of faith. We see, and even more, say, noteworthy than that, we see Peter entering the house of Cornelius. And in fact, the last line is missed off is left off in the passage. It says, they asked Peter to stay with them. And so Peter then is staying in the house of a pagan. Okay, and this is quite remarkable for, say, Jew and Gentile relations. But this is say, like the splash in the face of, say, new possibilities and the awakening to the reality that God is creating a new family, and those, say, traditional lines of division need no longer mean anything. Right, what means something, we see in the passage, is the glorification of God. So you see a people gathered by Jesus, chosen by him to glorify God. And so this is, say, the upward movement of the people of God, is that we are gathered as a people to live lives of holiness. We're gathered as a people to offer ourselves, our hearts, our lives to God in praise. Okay, so the Christian people has that, say, mark. This is one side of the coin, that we live so as to glorify God. And then the other side of the coin we see in the passage is that we live so as to bring God's love to life in the world. Okay, but that's like the vine and branches discourse, say in its outmost parameters, is that the church exists to bring God's love to life in the world, to bear the good fruit of the kingdom. But there's much more going on here that demands our attention, because it's of course not just that easy. It's not as though, you know, we come and say Sunday after Sunday we're coming and we're committed as a people to the mission of Jesus to bear God's love for the world. But then it's that how does that happen, right? And here one of the distinguishing characteristics of the people of God is that actually they love one another. So it's not so simple to say, okay, look, we've been lit on fire here by the fire of divine love and charity, and so now you just have to run out into the world and do it. What is the power that sustains us in the act of loving the world into life? It's charity shared among the brethren, right? Gathered as a people, members of one body, right? So we embody the love of Jesus for each other. That then is the sustaining force of our mission out into the world. So you need to know, like, Sunday after Sunday, we'll send you out on mission, right? We say, go forth, the Mass is ended, right? Go out and love the world into life, okay? And then, you know what? Come back and let's rejoice in the fact that God is loving the world into life in you and through you. Yeah, so there's power in being sent, but also in returning. And this is the kind of belonging that Jesus wants for his disciples, to grow as a family of faith, all committed to the same mission, drawing on the same life of love of God himself, and bearing the good fruit of the kingdom that will last. And here, right, I mean, how many great promises do we need here, right? We're keeping the commandments of Jesus, we're glorifying God with everything we've got. We are loving the world into life, and we find that we have Jesus' joy in us and the fullness of joy. Right? In John's gospel, we see Jesus wants to give us abundant life, and we have life to the full and full flourishing because we're participating in the life of Jesus himself. Okay. One little practical note as it relates to the bearing of good fruit. We have, in this discourse as well, Jesus is giving us the gift of the Spirit. We skip over that, of course, because we're not at Pentecost yet. Okay, we want to save some of that power. But it's in there, and it doesn't work without it, right? The Spirit of the living God, it doesn't work without it. So what I want to say is that, yes, Jesus is breathing his Spirit into us here and now. As we pray, as we here dedicate ourselves to God and give ourselves over, heart and mind and body and the rest to the mission of God and to bearing his fruit, we really want to be asking ourselves a couple of questions that are here reflected at least in the first reading and in the gospel. The questions are, how do I best glorify God? Okay, so don't ask yourself that question. Ask God that question. Ask Jesus that question. Or ask the Spirit that question, right? Because the Spirit is working in you and working through you for the glorification of God and for love, loving the world to life, bearing the fruit of love. So I want to ask God the question here in a special way, you know, as we're dedicated to him in prayer. And then also as we go about our business today and this week, we want to ask, okay, how do I best glorify God? So God, how do I best glorify you? Okay, no matter what situation it is that's coming to mind or heart, right, the very stuff of our day-to-day living, okay, we can think about that. It's on our heart. We're offering it to God. We're offering our hearts to God. We're offering these situations, relationships, and the rest to God. We want to be asking, okay, Lord, how do I best glorify you here? Okay, that's question one. And question two is, what is the most loving thing for me to do here? Okay, and those two questions, they're never opposed. So you can take one or the other, or you can try both at the same time, or whatever, however it is you want to do it. But this is our prayer, and this is how we remain in the love of God. This is how we keep the command of Jesus, is to be living that mission intentionally, with all intentionality, and with, of course, tapped into the power of heaven, tapped into God's own life of love that is at work in us and through us, so that we not only have, you know, the great mission and purpose here of the church, of Jesus himself, but we also have the fullness of life and complete joy.